Really love this episode. This is one that we created the Wash Up Walk-Ons for, telling the stories of the guys who maybe weren't in the spotlight, the superstars, guys like us. Jake Hewlett joins the show today. He's from Springville, Iowa, and he is one of the best teammates that we had during our time. He has an awesome story. He stuck it out all 5 years. Incredibly hard worker, Iowa kid through and through. I think you guys will love this episode. Let's have a day. Let's go. Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, another episode today, another fun one for us as in, well, just me tonight. G-Bone is though on the side, always, as always, producing, and I'm sure he'll step in with better questions than I have tonight, but a fun one because we have one of the original from 2013. I think we had 37, Jake, and it got down to about 17 maybe, but he stuck it out. Attrition gets a lot of people, but not this guy. He's from that 2013 class, one of the worst recruiting classes statistically of the KF era. I'm not sure if you know about that, Jake, but Jake Hewlett joins us tonight, and I'm excited to talk to him. I mean, Jake, we haven't talked for probably since we left Iowa City.
It's been several years, yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Yeah.
You don't look – you haven't changed a bit.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Easily recognizable, right?
Well, the red hair helps.
It does.
The red hair helps. What have you been doing? What are you up to in life?
So we got graduated, moved back to Springville. CJ and I got married a couple years after. Graduated, moved back. Got a property outside of Springville. Got a couple dogs. Baby on the way, and we're rocking and rolling.
Baby on the way.
Yeah.
Let's go, brother. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you know what it is, or how far along are you?
Yeah, it's gonna be a boy. Yeah, 28 weeks along now.
Let's go, getting close.
Yeah, three more months.
That's a football season, baby.
October 21st. Yeah,
dude.
It's almost a rut, maybe too. So,
are you stoked?
Yeah, pretty excited.
I have a 19 month old daughter.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool, man.
That's awesome.
It's all the things that they say. Like, I'm not the first dad in the world. I'm not going to tell you how to be a dad, but it changes things. It changes everything.
Yeah.
Is that, are you someone who wants a big family?
Yeah, we had talked about it. I mean, huge, but yeah, a couple kids would be nice. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to create a whole roster, like budget up?
No, he's got a head start. You know, he's got a head start on all of us, but
dude.
Boz was just up here a week ago.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, he's another guy we got to have on the podcast, man.
They're doing good. They're doing good. We haven't seen him in a while either. So
we graduated college, and it was like he had three kids like that. I was like, what is going on?
I know. Well, it's been what, five?
Dude, it's been.
I don't even say it out loud. I think it's going to be 7 years now since our last.
This will be 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3. This will be the seventh year that we've been out of the program. How's that feel?
It goes fast. I tell people a lot when people ask about, like, you know, ask about the experience and stuff like that. And I kind of tell them, like, when you're there and there's all these former players that come in and talk to you about, like, oh man, it goes fast. Like, enjoy it while you can because everybody's here. You're gonna miss your buddies. You're there with them from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then all of a sudden you graduate and never just go
gone
back to where you're from or wherever you now live. And it's
dude, crazy. And it's a lot. We've discussed it pretty frequently actually in the last. Sure. Maybe it's because we keep getting further away. But even like our group that lived at Benton, right? Like, Ike and Josie and like, dude, we don't see each other. Kevin just had his wedding and, it was the first time his bachelor party back in May was the first time our group had been all together, since we had left Iowa City.
Which is wild. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, life gets in the way. You start
Josie being in the NFL and Ike being in the NFL doesn't help because they
it doesn't no
that they've been that, all over the country.
Cramps the scheduling.
And Bo, you never know where Bo is, right?
He's like riding a four wheeler, herding cattle in the hills of Montana or Wyoming, or
that's your best bet, right? Yeah. It's somewhere in Montana or in Wyoming, and he's out in the nature.
In a ghillie suit, probably.
That's amazing, dude. Are you 30 already, or do you turn 30 this year?
I'll turn 30 April next year.
Okay, so you're a little younger.
Yep. I just turned 20.
And you're back in Springville.
Yep, back in Springville.
And is there a statue there of you yet, or?
No, my claim to fame is there's a picture of me at Sally's. So
is that the local bar?
It's the local, like the when you think of Springville, it's Sally's on Broadway. So it's the Water and Olin Town restaurant bar.
Yeah. I love that. What's the picture of?
So our senior year for senior night or senior game, there was a girl in town that had an accident and had to go to the children's hospital. So she ended up being the kid captain that week. So it's just a picture of us and like right after practice, I think when the kid captain's called up.
Oh man.
So yeah. And she graduated high school. So this year, which also makes me feel crazy old. So yeah.
But, you're right about people, you know, the guys coming back and like, hey, enjoy it while you got it. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard because it's, you woke up at 5:15 that morning to go get a lift in and you had to do a set of cluster squats that you didn't want to do. And drink a shake or two shakes afterwards that you didn't want to drink. And, you know, then you had 45 minutes to lay on the locker room floor before you had to go to, you know, practice. Then after practice, you got another 32 minutes to lay on the floor until you got to walk over to the bus station. Bus takes you to EPB for a class you don't want to go. Like, you just don't ever have any time to really soak it in.
Yeah.
And then you look up and it's 7 years later. And you got kid on the way and you're married. Like, do you feel like an adult yet?
Flies. No, not yet. I think somebody the other day was like, oh yeah, how old are you? I was like 29. They're like, oh yeah. I was like,
yeah,
that's not old by any stretch, but like, I don't feel like I have everything together. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
But it still, it feels, maybe it's just me, but it feels like we're still 23.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, dude,
I regret every day I sold my moped, that puppy.
Oh,
dude. Young man.
I just was talking about that with my wife the other day. Oh, my wife and I have this funny story. So I had one of the crappiest 50/60s.
Yeah. Moped special.
Yep. Absolutely. Barely could get up that Hillcrest Hill. And there was a game our freshman year where she was visiting. And, you know, they got the streets blocked off and you're like, there's so much traffic after the game. And my parents had a tailgate like right across from the stadium. So, you know, all right, we're going back to Hillcrest. Like, game's over. We're going to go hang out for the weekend, or she's going to, you know, stay the night and then go back home Sunday. Hop on the moped with me, come back to Hillcrest. And we had to take like this roundabout way because the streets were blocked off. Mm-hmm. So we ended up on Riverside coming back up Hillcrest Hill. And it wouldn't get us both up the hill. Like, it barely got me up the hill. And then you put another human on there.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to one of the most embarrassing, like, you got to get off and walk and I'll meet you up at the parking lot. And then we'll go into the dorm.
You didn't let her drive it?
Yeah.
You didn't walk?
No. Well, she had never driven a moped before and she was not about, I think I did offer and she was like, no, I'll just walk. She had like her backpack on that she was staying with for the night. Like, it's like, geez, man. Hillcrest was a good time though.
It was third floor.
Do you miss floor, you miss third floor Hillcrest?
No, not at all.
You don't?
The only I mean, it was the coolest part about the dorms was being like 5 foot away from everybody.
Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, we had some good times in Hillcrest.
Who was your roommate?
Gaffy.
You and Gaff.
Yeah.
You and Gaff were down a little bit. And then it was LaShawn and Kevin and me and Drake and Boone and Budgeta.
Meerkat.
And Meerkat and
Wellick and Joyce were there.
Reggie.
Too. Reg. It was Matt. It was Meerkat and Reggie.
Bo and Corbin. It was insane. And then you just go down. You go right down. The stairs was right in between all of our rooms. You go right down the stairs, and it's the other 16 dudes, 20 mm-hmm. dudes in our class. Is it crazy to think that we'll get to it later as we kind of progress through, you know, your story, your career. But is it crazy to think how many of those guys, you know, for some reason or another, weren't there on senior day?
Yeah, I mean, you go through the years, you add people, obviously you lose people, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty slim from what where our class started to where we ended. I mean, it was severely, you know, lower.
Depleted, less than 50%.
Yeah. You said 37 down to 17 is what you said?
I think it was 37 down to 16 or 17.
Yeah, I think
it might have even been 14. With
we had Ben
and Miles.
In Miles. Yeah. The adventure, yeah.
It wasn't good. How did they find you? How did they find you at a Springville?
State track.
Really?
Yeah, Coach Morgan, man. The dude looks through the weeds. He hangs out at, obviously, you know, Coach Morgan. So at state track, he hangs around the throws, hangs at the discus, hangs at shot put. He loves that. And that's kudos to him.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. So that's how freshman in high school, no idea, up from down. Like I made it to state and shot put. I think I got last. I got 24 out of 24th because our district sucked. So you think I won the Olympics, right? So I'm just out there having a good time. I don't even have throwing shoes. I wear like Nike Shocks.
There's throwing shoes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You have to earn them, I feel like, but you don't want
to. So you made state though as a freshman?
Yeah. For 1A, yeah.
And got smoked.
Yeah.
How big were you? How big were you?
Like 6'1", 205.
How big did you play at Iowa?
So my heaviest or like my senior year would have been, I'm 6'2" on a good day.
After the inversion table.
Yeah sure. Yeah. So 6'2", 290 maybe.
290.
Yeah.
Maybe. How did that 290 feel?
Not too bad. 280 felt great. Oof. 280 felt way better. Like 2015, 2016, 280 felt much better.
So you went from freshman year 2009 being 6'1", 205,
mm-hmm.
and then played, you know, 6-7 years later around 290.
Yeah, because I graduated high school at like probably 235, 240. I showed up to Iowa City. At
pretty lean and mean.
240, 245 maybe. Yeah.
At 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
So you had a pretty good growth spurt during high school.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I came in freshman year exactly what I am right now. And then just got, you know, over the, you know, in between freshman year and now, I was just fatter for a little bit and then less fat.
You have to put on muscle, right?
Man, no, I wish I would have known everything I know now, dude. I mean, yeah. I could have been a lot better looking 215 than I was the sloppiest 215 you could be.
Yeah, but the Olympic lifts were your jam.
And they still are, but it still looked horrible. I mean, you know, I wanted to look like, you know, like Josh Jackson.
Oh, well, who doesn't?
That's
you know what I mean? That's...
I didn't even need to perform like him. I just wanted to look like him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. To look like the mannequin that wears the jerseys in the hallways. Come on.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So they find, so Coach Morgan, of course, we have the running joke on this show that he somehow, some way just finds himself to every single, it's like he talks to every single, every person has Coach Morgan in their journey of recruiting somewhere.
Yeah.
And so you get, you know, you go out there. You got like some Nike Freeze on, you spin around, you get 24th, you're just living life. You're like, heck yeah, I came to the state tournament and Coach Morgan comes up and talks to you.
Yeah, I think he, you know, he didn't even talk to me. He talked to my coach and I think they were saying like they wanted to, you know, they were interested. They'd like to have me up to a camp sometime. So it was like, I mean, I, you know, at that
point. And had you played football like Springfield's 1A.
We're 8-man. So I played 8-man in high school. Yeah.
Really? You were an 8-man guy.
8-man. Yeah, dude. So like, and this, I mean, crazy stat for you too. Would it be, so 2013, first year we come in, me, Boz, Nate Meyer, Drew Ott, all A-man guys.
Yeah. Like 4% of our team was 8-man players.
Yeah. Yeah. And at one point, I mean, in 2015, before Drew had his elbow in his knee, I mean, those three would have been out. I mean, it would have been 3-8.
Yeah. It would have been three of our 22 starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shoot. No. Hold on a second. Three of our four defensive linemen all at
once.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Not just 3 of 22. That's 3 of 4.
No.
Yeah.
But what I first time I played tackle football was 8th grade.
Really?
Yeah, because I broke my leg in middle school in baseball.
And there was nothing younger than that.
Not in pads, no.
Wow.
It would have been like Metro and Cedar Rapids, but I just never did.
Never did it.
Yes. I'd never played 8-man football before.
That's a different game too.
I'm sorry. I had never played 11-man standard traditional football until college.
Yeah. 8-man's fun, huh?
It's fun. Yeah. It's Iron Man ball.
It's just 100 to 70 every game.
Some games it's, yeah, there's a lot of scoring. In some games, it's like you get. I mean, it depends. I mean, it's just so dependent on like.
Were you? Did you start freshman year?
Freshman year, I started on defense. No, I didn't. I don't even know if I started on defense. I got in on defense, and then I'd play like. I think I started on defense. I may have started on defense. I had a pick six my freshman year, on football because I played linebacker. At that point,
at 205, yeah.
At 205, yeah. I was not fast at all.
Still, is that one of your best fast. Memories? A pick six freshman year football?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah.
I never had a pick six. I had 3 picks in high school, much less than I wish I would have had. Pick six is elite.
So I started on defense and then played in some and then ended up like near the end of the year, ended up playing quarterback. So we had some good athletes.
Had the Jay Hewlett package in there.
Yeah. So that at that point, like Tebow, right? So
yeah.
We would do like kind of like a spin series or like spread everybody out and like a quad. It would be a quads 3-man. We only got 3 offensive linemen, mind you.
I know it's crazy, dude.
It's wild. Yeah, you get 2 out, split out either way. 3 offensive linemen, which were all smaller than me, and then you know
as the quarterback.
Yeah.
Dude, I need to see some tape of this. That would be legendary to watch.
Yeah. I mean,
could you sling it?
I mean, I'm pretty athletic. I can throw the ball. Yeah.
You could throw that thing?
No, yeah. I can throw that thing.
That's incredible. So freshman year, you dabble, maybe started defense, played a little bit of offense, and then sophomore year comes around. Are you starting both ways?
Yeah. I mean, I started both ways like halfway through freshman year. Okay. But yeah, no,
And does it eventually – By the end of your high school career, do you eventually move onto the line for both sides or were you still?
Yeah, I think like late in my sophomore year or early junior year was like there was teammates of mine that were going to be, they were way better at playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense to have me back there. Like they could have that. So I played tight end on offense and I played defensive end on defense.
I was going to say, knowing how athletic you were and beefy for a high school kid. I mean, being an athlete and being over 200 pounds and maybe less of a unicorn nowadays, like 10 years later, it seems like high school kids are huge, but,
some teams,
but like at a small school with a, you know, athlete like you to be able to put them on the line and just like cause a little havoc. Like, I mean, you had to have a ton of tackles.
Yeah. I don't know how many, but yeah, several. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Quick stats day.
Quick stats. Yeah. Oh, man. You just make up your own stats.
Yeah.
Every coach is just like, yeah, I think Jake had 14 tackles tonight.
Definitely 17 TFL this week.
Yeah. 6 sacks. It was crazy. Yeah. It's quick stats. Unbelievable pull there. Yeah. So Coach Morgan talks to your coach at state track, and then when, and is that the first kind of recruiting that you, like, when does your coach tell you about that? Or how does that even, how's that conversation?
Yeah, he brought it up afterwards. He was like, hey, yeah, I talked to the Iowa coach. He'd really like to see you come to a camp sometime.
And okay.
I don't remember if I went to a camp that summer, but I think I'm pretty sure I did, because I don't if you went to that one or that same type, but they were down on the rec fields. You remember yep. that? Mm-hmm. They were down on the rec. I think I went there as a tight end, and yep. Marv Cook was like the guy that was the tight end's like
yep.
I don't know, coach basically.
Yeah, like guest coach.
Mm-hmm.
The rec field camp, I do remember.
Yeah, down it was like just an ankle busting minefield.
Did you go? Was that a multi-day camp or was it just a single day?
I don't even remember now.
Because I actually have a funny story that because so Drake was my roommate, right?
Yep.
And I didn't know Drake, but funny enough, freshman year summer, it was either going into freshman year or the year after freshman year, going into sophomore. I went to a multi-day camp with our quarterback. It was just me and him. We went to like a skills camp, but it was like a, you know, Friday practice, stay in the dorms, like three sessions on Saturday, stay Saturday night, wake up Sunday, final session. Yeah. And funny enough, we were down on the rec fields for some of them. It rained one of the, like the Saturday morning, and they put us in the, like that track building next to the facility.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We were just in our tennis shoes, like out on the rubber, like on the track. And I was a linebacker. Drake was a linebacker. And I remembered like a couple months into being Drake's roommate, like, oh my God, dude, we went against each other like 4 years ago at a camp.
Yeah.
Like in linebacker drills. And that and that was probably a similar camp to when we, cause a couple of those practices were out on those rec field, just horrible. Just
yeah.
Not good.
And we were probably there at the same time. Most likely.
We probably were. And probably more of our teammates were there too, to be honest.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
It's just it's crazy when you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So maybe for after freshman year that happens, how does it progress from there?
Yeah, so I at that point, like I didn't know. I mean, nobody I think recently to my age had ever gone to like a larger university or anything like that. So
out of Springville.
Yeah. So like recruiting was kind of new. Like if you went on to play college ball or anything, like, you go to Simpson or Central or Warburg or something like that. So like, it was kind of new. And, there was, I went to a couple camps and as we went on, and I think like down the pike, like I narrowed down to where I was going to go to. Like I was either going to walk on at Iowa, I was going to walk on at Iowa State, Drake. I was actually going to go to Drake. If I didn't go to Iowa, I probably would have went to Des Moines, played at Drake. Wow. Yeah.
And before football became a thing, because obviously, like you said, you hadn't played until eighth grade. Was there any other, I guess, you know, the recruiting kind of started early once Coach Morgan talked to your coach freshman year, but was there ever any other plan of like, I'm just going to go be a student and then you're like, oh, I might have a chance at this football thing? Or did you know what you were going to do after high school, or football kind of like just kind of took over as the plan?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of took over. I actually thought like, cause I played baseball, as an eighth grader. I played up and played varsity as an eighth grader too. So I actually kind of thought like I was going to go play baseball or just something like that. And then I started getting bigger, started hitting the weights more. And then that became something that I was able to, you know, I went to some camps and did well. And then I was like, well, you know, actually this might be something I could, you know, take a shot at. It might be something that I'd be wanting to do. And then there became interest. And at that point, like, and not that Springville sports are bad, but we had athletes, but we freshman year, we went 3-6, like sophomore year, we went 2-7, junior year, I think we go 2-7 again. Like we, until we get to senior year, like we don't turn it around And that's, and we had a lot of, we had a solid group of guys like Elias Nissen behind me, went to UNI, played tight end for four years. So like, I mean, we had some big athletic kids. I mean, our starting lineup was average size, really big team, but I didn't really even realize it probably until like sophomore year. And then I was thinking like, okay, well, I started to have some success and that's where my focus kind of shifted towards. And at that point you're 15, 16 years old, and you're growing like a weed, and I was lifting weights all the time. And then that's kind of where I went to some camps, and you know, I'd only ever played against people I knew up until that point. And you're in that little world, you don't even look up and look around and then realize that, you know, like that there's a talent pool out there. Like there's absolute monsters that walk this earth, you know, like by no means it was like walking around making kids look like puppies, but it was something where I realized that like I can hang with a lot of these guys here. And that's kind of where
Even know that Jahlil Johnson was a thing back then.
You know? Yeah. Oh, speaking of, have you seen Lucas Van Ness walking around?
Dude.
Holy smokes. I saw a picture of him the other day. I was like, whoa.
I mean, he's a special case. I mean, that man is
Hercules.
He might actually have superhuman genes. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. So, and the conversation was kind of probably just went back and forth with Coach Morgan the whole time, like as a point of contact.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Morgan was the guy. It would have been KB was just coming back at that point too. Scott Southmade, but yeah, I mean those Ben Hansen, you know, so like those guys, which was awesome because all those guys were still there. I mean, that's one of the selling points too, is the continuity, right? I mean, there are people that come and go, but that the opportunity presented itself. And I mean, looking back, like
do you remember how that happened? Like, do you remember, was there ever a time period? Because I know there was for me where it was like, I don't know if they're gonna want me to come and play. Cause I knew I wasn't going to get a scholarship either.
Sure. Yeah.
And there was a time period. It was short, a couple months, thankfully, but like where I was like, okay, I want to be a Hawkeye, but they haven't really said the words like, we'll take you as a walk-on yet. Was that for you too?
Yeah. Yeah. And probably would have been like the winter of your senior year. Like, cause at that point it's pretty much time to make a decision. It's near in January and you're like, well, do I wait? Do I not wait? I mean, I guess you could say, luckily for me, I didn't have any, like I had toyed with going to South Dakota, but I ended up not going. So like, I didn't have any other. It's not like I had a burning offer on the table.
You didn't have all these other options. Like, oh, I understand. I get you. My three options were if you count Iowa State, I could have walked on there. But
sure,
it's like, do I take basically Eastern Michigan and Wyoming? Both told me, hey, if you come out, snap for us, do a little weekend visit, we'll throw money down. We'll offer you. And I was like, but I don't want to play for you guys, you know, like I want to be a Hawkeye. Yeah. And so I also had like not a lot of, you know, you got those kids that sit in their high school gyms on commitment day and there's like five hats there and they're like, they're pump faking Texas so that they can pick up the Oklahoma hat. I was like, I'm pump faking Marshalltown Community College to go be a Hawkeye. And I don't think either one cares really. So I understand the decision there.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, and the hardest thing was like, you're not that, you know, you're going to walk in and play at a smaller place, but like the whole idea is, and you're coming in basically unknown. And at this point you really, it's not like they have like, you know, you don't sign a piece of paper when you, whether you're preferred or invited or like they call you on, it's not like you're not committing to anything.
A walk-on's a walk-on. I don't know if the listeners, people who, I think we've gone over that before, but unless you're a scholarship guy, it don't matter if you're, I still think that preferred walk-on or like whatever other terms they have for walk-on, I think it's propaganda because when you go in, it's all the same. You're either, you got money or you don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, and there's just so much unknown, you know, you're like, well, there's obviously there's other people there that are on scholarship that they're going to be potentially the front runners. And you're like, well, you know, you either take a shot and kind of one of those things, you aim for the moon and land in the stars, or you go somewhere that's a little more comfortable. But I chose to go to Iowa because one, because that opportunity was cool. Like me, as a little kid, like if you're an in-state guy, like that's, if you're a Hawk fan, that you want to go there. Right. But
yep.
The same thing is that opportunity is available for such a small percentage of people. And not only that, but the opportunity to go, and maybe you don't see the playing time, but you as an athlete, as a man, as a competitor, you end up rising to the level of everyone else is at. And even if you don't see the playing field at that same time, you end up being a better overall competitor because of it. And that's why I went, because I was like, the other thing is like, well, you go there and you find out like, hey, these dudes run circles around me. Like maybe I'll back out and I'll go somewhere where I would may fit better or whatever, but
sure.
It just ended up sticking. And
you're firing me up talking about the,
I got goosebumps right now.
You're firing me up talking about that walk-on story. Like, hey, screw playing time. I'm in it for all the other benefits.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but, dude, at that time there wasn't a whole lot of bet. I mean, with 2013, like we had to eat, you and I, well, we pay for meals in the basement of Hillcrest.
I know. Trust me, brother. I know. I'm talking about the intangibles. Like sure. You're talking about, you know, like what, you know, screw everything else. And there's more for the walk-ons. Mm-hmm. There was, but just the opportunity to, maybe I'm naive or, you know, it's just a Marshalltown kid in me. And I don't, you know, I act a lot cockier than this, but dude, 18-year-old Tyler, just the fact that I got my foot in the door, like mm-hmm. Jake, I bet you still remember the first day that we got in that first year and your locker said your name on it. Right.
Yeah.
You remember that?
That was a big deal.
And it was in, and there was a Hawkeye. There's a Tiger Hawk next to it on a black and gold name card that someone, they printed it out. Like, you're on the roster and yeah. It's official.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I remember that moment. I remember the first time that I saw my jersey with the name on the back
at the game locker rooms. Oh, dude. I mean, taking the elevator down the first time and seeing your stuff in a locker, even if it was in the corner with all the people that you knew, didn't matter. Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
It was really surreal to come in there and be on visits and look at it, but then to be there and know you're going to wear that stuff. I mean, dude, you can't, it's indescribable. There's no word for it.
No, and I get, again, I've goosebumps all over the place right now. And it was that stuff that was like, and it felt like you had a knack or sort of an idea that was on the table, regardless of how your playing situation ended up. Like, you, did you have that foresight at 18 years old to be like, obviously you did because you chose Iowa, but it's hard to know at 18. Like you said, do I go take the playing time? Maybe an easier situation, or how much do I value at 18 years old, irregardless of the playing time I may or may not get, the quality of coaching and mentorship from Coach Ferentz and the rest of the staff, and the ability to just run out in front of Kinnick on a 70,000 pack Saturday. Like, how much does that do for me? How much does being against these scholarship guys off, you know, off the field and on the field, off season, in season, how much does that elevate me as a young athlete, a competitor, just a man in general? And
yeah.
It sounds like you kind of had an idea that was you'd be good with that regardless.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know how, I don't know why, but the coaches come. I mean, that cultivated us and brought us in, like, they somehow saw or knew we had an edge. Cause like it's like you said earlier, it's naive for us to come in and think that we're going to come in as undersized, like walk on kids to come in and earn playing time. Like, you have to come from wherever you are to start to all the way past where you ever thought you were going to be to get to that point. Cause it's the real deal. And like, until you step foot and put those pads on for the first time and you hit the practice field or you hit the game field and you start seeing the speed and like, okay, it's time to jump on the train or it's going to run you over. Like, that's when it kicks in. You're like, we're not playing anymore. This is real. Like, I've never, so like
this isn't the fights, Springfield homecoming game anymore.
You know? Dude, fist fights in practice. Ugh. Everybody on my team, I had grown up with like since kindergarten. Like, not that I would punch him in the face, but like the competitiveness when we got there, it blew me away. Like, I had never seen anything like it. And I'm not that I'm in 29 years of age, never seen anything like it ever again.
Yeah. You probably won't, right?
No.
You know, actually, it's funny watching the Olympics right now as we record this. Watching the Olympics and the sort of, I can feel the tenseness of all of the work that those Olympic athletes have put in. And I'm not going to compare us to Olympic athletes for sure, but the competitive environment is similar. Division one, high competitive environment, Division one football program. You can see it on those Olympic athletes' faces. And I see into the window of where we were at Iowa with some of the Olympic stuff. And other than that, you're right. Like, there's just not a lot of places like it. And that's why they come in and say like, hey, enjoy your time here. I mean, I was in the same boat as you were, and fortunately I didn't have to be in on any of those. You know, the specialist just stood on the sideline. I just looked at it like it was paid entry fee to come and watch this. I was just in awe. I would have gotten my ass beat in that. And it's fortunate that I was just a snapper. Did you 2013, a lot of us redshirted, most of us. Do you remember specifically moments in practice as we started to get into it, you started to see the speed, any welcome to the Big Ten moment, like any senior just absolutely pile driving you through the dirt, or any memories like that come to mind?
So I was on scout defense that first year, obviously.
Yep.
And like I said, technique was, I was just in high school, I was just an athlete.
Yep.
Technique was something I had no idea about. So when you, one, are undersized, and two, don't have technique, it gets exposed quickly, right? So there's only so fast you can backpedal when you make contact with somebody. And at that point in time, Brandon Sheriff ran faster blocking than I could backpedal. So, it's like some of those guys that, like Austin Blythe, it's incredibly quick, athletic, strong, you know, stuff like that, that was completely, completely new to me, just to even lock up or lock horns with guys like that. And I say that meaning I'm not actually locking up with them, because at that point they were just completely overpowering me. But to know where other guys were, to even get to a stalemate or a stalwart with some of those guys, like, or even win on reps like that, it was impressive to feel and to see and to know it the first time. I mean, walking in, like, everybody's like, oh, I'm going to come in and, you know, make my mark. Yeah. That gets quickly.
Yeah.
Unless you're the dude, you know, that's quickly.
Especially in Iowa, where it's such a developmental thing. You're right though. A lot of guys come in and they're like, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I always go back to, and bless his heart, he actually ended up having a fantastic career, Nick Szymanek, was in our class as well. One of the aforementioned guys who just, you know, for one reason or another didn't make it at Iowa. He did make it. I remember before we came in that summer, the drama of the guys who had come early for the summer program was he sent out a tweet or something that was like, I'm going to give Beathard and Sokol and Rudock a run for their money. Like, I'm coming for their job. Mm-hmm. And he like put that out there. And I just remember thinking like, holy shit, that kid's confident. Like, I don't know if he's just dumb or he doesn't. And of course, like he had a little bit of a wake up call too. Never took a rep. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I didn't know where, and I was a long snapper, so it's not like I was coming for anything. Does that wear on you? Like, you're just, you know, Sheriff is putting you 40 deep on a run block, and it's every day, and it's camp, and it's every day of practice, and you get through that, you know, you you make it through the season, you look up and your first season, first 2013 year of football at Iowa is over. You're about to head into the off season and you're just like, am I ever going to win? Like, what were the feelings?
I mean, it's a grind too, because then at that point, like, the focus, besides bye week, when you're doing some Devo work, the focus is on the ones and twos. So, I mean, you have to, at that point, I wasn't mature enough, nor is anybody usually at that age, like, to realize that I'm not getting the coaching attention specifically, right. But I can still take the reps on and do that. But I mean, it's tough because you're going to practice every day. It's practice is a grind in itself. If you don't include the, like you talk about, the cluster sets we're hitting, because we're on the Devo card still.
Oh yeah.
So we're lifting like four days a week, and Sundays we're running too. So like,
hey,
dude, I mean, you talk about wearing you down. Like,
you want to hear something funny?
Yes.
So Sundays we'd come in, you know, and that like first Sunday after, God, I think we played Northern Illinois in 2013, the first game.
Yeah.
And Sunday we come in and, you know, like the starters and the twos that got a lot of reps on rotations. Doyle's like, all right, if you're too deep, you got, you already know where this is going.
Yeah.
If you're too deep, you've got, I forget what it was. You got half the reps or whatever. You got 8 reps instead of the, you know, whatever, for the shakeout run. So I look at I was so stupid, dude. I was the only, you know, other than Casey Kreider, I'm the only guy.
I know.
And so in my head, I'm doing the math and I'm like, well, technically I'm too deep, right? So I go to Marshall Kane and I'm like, hey, do you think you think that means me? Like, you think I'm in the half reps group? Just hoping with all my heart, dude, that I didn't have to run as much because the shakeout runs hurt me bad.
Dude, there was nothing shakeout about those runs.
No, man. Not for us, like you said.
Not for us, no.
And Marshall, knowing that I was not in that group, like I am absolutely on the bottom rookie freshman card and supposed to be doing, Marshall goes, you should probably go ask Doyle. Dude, just sent me into the wood chipper. And I think, you know, I got lucky. Doyle was, I think it was such a blasphemous question that he looked at me and the look just said it all. And I was like, okay.
You don't have to even answer. Yeah.
Got it. Hilarious. Unbelievable. Marshall can suck it. That sucked. That was a little initiation though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And then you know, you get, you know, bye week, it's Devo, like hour long Devo practice after a 2-hour long regular practice where you were the punching bag. Same thing with bowl prep, you know. And you know, and then we get into 2014. I don't wanna draw it out too long, but how did you see yourself advance through those first 2 years? And you know, in 2015, I've got your little page pulled up here. On the Iowa football side, dude, 2015, you were doing something right because you were you got the team leader award on defense.
I got through that first season. I had back surgery for my 19th birthday.
Shoot, I forgot about that. You did have a serious surgery.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought I tore my hamstring. Like, I just kept
low back.
Yeah, lower back. Yeah, I herniated a disc. My lower back, and that was like somewhere in the line of like January, February. So we
of 2014
of 2014, yeah. And then I had like cortisone shots, and it didn't help. And torso corrective didn't correct either. So like
corrective.
I was doing everything. I had treatment. I was like, I couldn't sit.
Yep.
So I had surgery in April of 2014, and so that put me back quite a bit because a lot of progress I'd made, I couldn't squat. I mean, I never back squatted. I don't think I've back squatted since spring of 2014. Everything was front squat from then forward.
To this day.
I mean, maybe I put on like a couple, like a plate or two on my back, but
yeah,
no, strictly front squat.
Yeah,
and single leg stuff. And from then forward, Because, I mean, at that point, that was at that point, I didn't know if I was going to, I don't know if I was going to play football again. I mean,
yeah, that had to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, Doyle, like, had told me, like, I think Carl Klug and Jonathan Babineau were like two other guys. That was some of the things that that got me through that. Cause he said to me, he's like, you know, it's an intensive recovery. It can be done. And two people, those two examples did it and ended up having phenomenal careers. Mm-hmm. But it was something that I had to learn to live with ahead of practice, after practice, stuff like that. And so, you know, that kind of set me back a little bit, but with one door closing, another one opened, you know, I mean, like I was able to learn my craft more with film and do things that I couldn't necessarily be a part of spring ball. Like I'm there watching, just total sponge, listening. At that time, Mitch King was there helping in the spring, and for practice, like during spring ball, I would walk the north end zone before the north end zone of Kinnick. I'd walk from the bottom to the top until basically Ray told me I was done. And I just would walk up the stairs and back down because that's all I could do for a little while.
I remember that.
Yeah. Brutal.
Damn.
But yeah, that's, luckily 2015 was better. Yeah.
2015 did go better. So fast forward a year from that surgery, we're in 2015 spring. We're coming off of a disappointing 2014 as a team. Yeah. As a team, but also after you just told that story, pretty disappointing for you personally as well. And I don't think there's any way to overstate how challenging that is as a walk-on, you know, everything you described, to be set back now 2 years gone out of your five, and you're like, I'm not making up any ground. And the only thing that's happening here is they're bringing in more classes of competition with guys who are on scholarship every year to fill the position that I play. Mm-hmm. So 2015 spring rolls around, and what are we thinking then? How's our backs feeling better, obviously?
Yeah. So that spring I moved from defensive end to D tackle. Mm. So then at that point, cause we were kind of short, not short, but like at that point that was more of a need than defensive end. So I made the switch to go in. And so then my goal weights bumped up and everything like that. And then I was able to, spring went well for me, going into summer, I'm feeling good. Like I'm a year out from surgery, and I'm back to normal. Basically I'm bigger, stronger, faster than I'd ever been before. And things were going good. And I went into fall camp, toying with some of the two deep in some spots. And then, at that point, Coach Wallace comes in and introduces, one of the talking points for today too. He introduces the punch shield, right? Which is awesome because
we just had him at fun. It'll come out Monday. We just recorded with Coach Wallace.
Oh, did you? Oh,
and we talked about when he stepped in and took over punt and how intense that was.
Dude, it was nuts. So he walked in and. I might be butchering this, but when he walked into camp that fall, you remember the binder each one of us got?
Absolutely.
With the dogs on the front,
yep.
And the cane Corso in the middle. And he's like, this is who we're going to be. And I didn't know shit about punt until then. Like, they're like, come in here. Boz was doing it first.
Yeah.
So Boz was in there first doing it.
Yep.
And dude, let me tell you, the practice. So D line would get out there early. We would hit the hand sled, and then we would do block separation. And then practice would start, and then we would go to block separation. We would then split because we had to do ours before D line drills. We'd run and go to special teams, punt cover for 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it was. We're 295 pound guys. Punt cover the whole time.
Not good.
Then special teams is over. We run back, hit tackle circuit, and we don't stop until team period.
Circuit, Indy. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh.
It was, some of those days were rough as D line, but you had to
be excited because Coach Wallace is looking for bodies, right?
Coach Wallace is looking for bodies. And at that point, like the whole walk-on story, part of that in the fine print says special teams, I think, underneath there somewhere.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's an avenue, you know, it's something that we end up using a lot. And no, I just stepped in and just, you know, performed. And then at some point, I think, Wisconsin, I think Boz got a stinger in Wisconsin. And at that point they realized, hey, maybe we probably leaving our starting D tackle out there on that, probably, you know, it's not a bad move, but it, you know, it leaves us open for more injury. And so I think, I don't know if it was that game or the next game, I stepped
in. You pegged it right on the head. You've got it exactly right. Cause on the little after action here, it says did not see action, Illinois State, Iowa State, Pitt. You got in, I think, at D line in North Texas.
Yeah, that was my first time on the field.
Yeah, for a couple reps.
Yeah.
And then no action at Wisconsin, saw action on special teams in 29-20 win over Illinois.
Yeah. So
that Illinois would have been your first game on Shield.
In Kinnick.
Dude, was that 2015 or 20? No, it would have been 2016 that we ran the fake against Illinois.
Yeah, I wasn't on that one.
With Hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had so many cool fakes written up.
So many
in 2015. We never had to use them.
People don't even know how many we had written up.
Oh,
yeah. Which just means that they're still written up.
They're still there.
They're still there. There's a lot. They got them. And you know, Woods has that cooked up. You know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So 5 games in, and all of a sudden, pun alert.
Pun alert, baby.
Pun alert. Gives you a little bit of PTSD when you hear it.
Yeah.
Because Doyle's just screaming, Hewlett, Gervais, Ward, Kluver.
Pun alert. And that was, I mean, it was indescribable too to go out. Because at that point, I got on the field at North Texas, but we were up by so much. Like,
right.
But Illinois, I mean, in that season alone, like we're in some pivotal spots with all special games, teams. Dude, yeah. Like we were
running on the field and it was important.
Yes. Yes.
And talk about from your perspective how well Coach Wallace and the rest of the staff too, but Wallace specifically, conveyed that importance. Because Drake and me and Kevin try to, you know, we've beat the dead horse, but like they made us feel like they made us feel like the punt unit was like SEAL Team 6.
Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, I was on the punt shield, but like we're on the punt. But I mean, our meetings were like in depth. They're coaching every little thing. But a lot of, I mean, what it boiled down to was that was an aggressive unit used to flip field position and to set up other phases of the game. And I mean, it was night and day from, and I think they put in rugby in later that year too, with Marsh running it. But I mean, it wasn't just special team. It was pretty heralded. Like punt was a people wanted to be on punt.
It became, I think that people wanted to, that's what started like Gervais and Hooker and Geno Stone, all the young guys that ended up being skill players for the team the last decade. They came in and Coach Wallace and Coach Woods and the rest of the staff were able to convey that same message to them. And all of a sudden it was like, oh man, like everybody on the team looks at this unit as like respected. Like they are killers. They are like super important to the mission here. And it was cool to be on that unit, man. Like it was really freaking cool. And so you got a little momentum. Jake's on the punch shield.
Yeah.
And then 2016.
Yeah. At 2016, I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling the best I ever had. I'm bigger, stronger, faster than the year before. At that point, I'm in the two deep. So I think we had some spots that were with Faith, Jaleel, Boz, myself, and some of the other guys coming in too, that there was opportunity there again yet for me. But first or second day of camp, first padded practice, I think I got tied up on an outside zone. I got tied up and the pile fell on my foot with it flexed in the ground, and it broke my foot. And I don't want to sound like a tough guy, but I really don't like when people lay on the ground, broken leg or not. Drake would probably be the only exception, right? And he would, the only thing keeping him down was because his foot was separated from his body, right?
Still a pussy.
But so I like hop up and run off. And at that point, like my foot, I've broken bones before. So like my foot was feeling like a hot air balloon, and I ran off the field and met Russ, and I couldn't walk anymore. And he helped me into the that little trainer hut behind the Soul Bikes, and yeah, it ended up needing help getting back in. And they told me that day that they probably thought I broke my foot. And I tell people all the time, like football is a game of adversity. It brought me personally, and I know basically everyone that ever played the sport, it brought me some of the highest of highs and some of the lowest of lows, because that day when I got back to Hillcrest and I got the results from my x-rays and they told me I broke my foot, and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do anything, let alone walk, for like, I don't know, 8 to 10 weeks, something like that. It just, I mean, completely crushing. Like, I called my parents. I was like trying to keep it together, and it's just, I'm like sitting on a bench looking at the fucking geese in the back of Hillcrest, just completely dejected, man. Like,
I know exactly what bench, like, you're talking
climbing
about.
Climbing that mountain, and then I get to that point, and everything, like, it seemed like just everything was falling apart around me. But I mean, at the same time, it was one of those things, I couldn't change it. I had to ride one of those scooters around, man. I think I still have blisters in my armpits from crutches. Like, that season after I broke my foot, I crutched to every game.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man. Where I lived at Penkridge. I crutched from every game. My parents would come there and we'd walk in, and I'd crutch the whole way to the game because I couldn't take my scooter down the stairs. So I wouldn't take my scooter to the game. I'd crutch from Benton to all the way down, going to the game, crutch down to the player seats, and then watch you guys. And then I'd crutch back after every game.
Jesus, yeah. Man. That's that's crazy.
Yeah. I did hop. The cool part about that is I did when we kicked the game winner against Michigan. At that point, I could wear a boot. Like, so I had a boot on.
You got out there?
I jumped over the sidewall, like mid fourth quarter. It was in the sideline, because sideline was really tight, right? So it was only, So I jumped over that and was on the field with you guys during that win.
That's awesome.
But
that's a point in your career where, I mean, like you said, you climbed the mountain. You're starting to see, you know, you're in the two deep, you're rotational, you're getting action on punt team, and now you suffer the season ending injury, and you have 1 year left.
Mm-hmm.
I guess theoretically you probably could have, I mean, did you ever search for a medical red shirt inside of that, or did you already take it, or like?
No, I never did. So when I broke my foot, like, I never, it healed, right? But I was never able to get back to where I was. I mean, strength wise, yeah, I still put on strength, but just running, agility, like, I could never get back to where I was.
And so, you know, our 2017 senior season is left, and you're looking at being healed and recovered basically as the spring semester of that 2017 year starts. What's the mindset? A lot of guys, I feel like, would pack it in, you know?
It's tough. I mean, at that point too, like, I mean, I was too far to go back, and I'm not going to quit. And at that point too, like,
a lot of guys now might enter the portal.
Maybe I'm glad I didn't have that option. I valued the time that I was able to stick it out. And even still, like, I mean, I still was able to go through that, and I had to find a different role. It's tough. I mean, it's tough because everybody wants to be the guy, And there's just only so many spots for that. So you got to find your role. Like, I mean, at that point, I mean, I'm not a stranger to talking. So at that point too, I'm a fourth or fifth year guy, and on the field, not so much the contributor, but in the locker room, in our team, in our position meetings, in different activities, like that's somewhere where I was able to kind of play more of a larger role in the 9 months that we're not, or 8 months or whatever that we're not in season. So that's kind of where I kind of had to shift focus and, you know, help some younger guys that had moved into those roles that I had vacated and that they rightfully earned. So, I mean, it's when you don't get into the spot that you're gunning for and somebody else does, I mean, at the end of the day, like I don't want to go 4-8 and see myself play versus have somebody else come in and that's better and play, and then we have a more successful team. Like, that's the end of the day. I mean, it's the sum of the parts. That's what we're going for.
And you did see a little action at the end of that year though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I got in some games. I think Ohio State and maybe Illinois and Purdue, something like that on defense. Yeah.
It is tough. There's only so many that can be the guy. We couldn't all be Josie Jewell, you know?
We couldn't, no.
I mean, I took a lot of crap back then. I take a lot of crap now, like, you know, the specialists always do. It's like, well, you weren't really a football player. Like, and I sit there and I'm like, dude, the eight plays that I got a game where I got to run out there and be on basically a dead ball and just throw it back there and the kick, field goal, whatever. I felt like I was the guy. Like, yeah. I felt like I was the guy, you know, like it was cool. Absolutely. Like, I wasn't Josie Jewell. I wasn't getting 10 tackles a game, but like, and I just listening to you talk, it makes me feel sort of the same way. It's like, it's impressive that you found time after time, two seasons that were cut by injuries where, you know, you were just able to take what you had and build up best what you could, you know, with the circumstances, and it's really admirable. I mean, I think we've mentioned you on the show a couple times how, I mean, we talked about it, right? Less than 50% of the guys didn't make it. Yeah. And you dealt with just about as much adversity as any of those guys did, sure. More than some. And, we saw you as an incredible teammate, man. It was great to have you, and you got to feel proud that you made it through all that and walked on senior day and got to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, extremely. I mean, more so than any of the accolades or whatever that did or didn't get, like earning the respect and the admiration and the trust of your teammates meant, and it still does. I mean, it means more to me than anything else could have, because beyond all of the smoke and mirrors and behind the curtains, like it was us and it's those guys now that are, you get 12 opportunities a year to be on TV potentially and play games. But I mean, the countless hours and sweat and puke and like,
yeah,
it's
a little prowler flu, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it just, that's like, that was where that iron sharpening iron was really, it's all that behind the scenes work that went in that was really, it created those bonds with us, you know? I mean,
yeah.
even not talking for however many years it was, like it seems like we were talking last week.
I know. It's crazy to me how that works. I mean, me and Jake, for the listeners, we have not talked. I mean, maybe since we left Iowa City in 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
But it comes back quick. And then you walk away and you've got the diploma. You get, you know, I still have the little, it's like a paperweight, the little Iron Hawk that they gave us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite thing, man. Like that's, it's like, It's really hard to make it to the end, like run that whole race. And those who do, it's like with anything in life, if you got to go for it, because if you don't, you'll never know. But if you do, even if you don't get what you thought the goal was, the journey, the process is going to give you something that is worth it regardless of the actual, you know, the end place of that journey. And, you know, it makes you into, you know, you're going to be a dad soon. And I guarantee you, you're going to start to think back and be like, man, some of these lessons that Coach Ferentz and Coach Doyle were like drilling into us, they're coming back. They're coming back now pretty heavy as I have to be a parent. And it's crazy, man. It's so cool. I'm so glad we got to sit down tonight, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's catching up and going over stuff. I mean,
we have more fun talking to guys like you. You know, one of our best episodes ever was with Brandon Bishop.
Ryan
Boyle, you know, two guys who, you know, were kind of behind the scenes, had a lot of adversity in their careers as well. And people, you know, when you're not Josie Jewell, people don't really know who Jake Hewlett is you know, and it's like, we just love
dude that ate a guy in Indiana, man. That's it,
bro.
That's the claim to fame, man.
If anybody can find the clip, it's probably on YouTube. This guy right here, Jake, he in that punch shield took one of the biggest humans I've ever seen right through his forehead, and it broke your face mask.
I ran off. I've never been concussed before that I know of, probably that day. But I came off the field, and it felt like my forehead was inside out. It was like like my forehead was convex. You know what I'm talking about? So like, I get off the field, and I look, and I remember who I was talking to. I was like, took my helmet off, and it was like instant relief. I was like, geez, there's something wrong with my face. Like, is my face right? I put my helmet back on again. It pushes into my head. Take it off, and I turn it around, and the top part of the face mask where it would be rounded away from my head is rounded into my face. I had to wear my helmet that way until halftime, until Greg could fix my face mask.
One of
the biggest regrets is that I didn't specifically ask him to keep the face.
It would have been so cool to still have the face mask.
I know.
But that is one of the, that is still one of the clear memories that me and Kevin and Drake have and comes up every once in a while. That was nuts, dude. That was nuts. Like really laying your body on the line. You were taking hits in that shield, brother.
Yeah. That was part of the job. I mean, I would do it again to be able to step on the field.
Oh yeah.
I would every day of the week.
I might at 200 pounds volunteer for the shield right 100%. Now. Well, hopefully for all the listeners out there, you guys enjoyed hearing Jake's story. I'm thrilled that we got to tell it and that we got to have a conversation, Jake. It's been great catching up with you. For everybody out there, we'll be back again next week. Every week, we're very close to the season. We are very close. We'll be back to two episodes a week, previewing, breaking down the games. I got a feeling the Hawks are going to put something special together this year. First year of the playoff, you know, you still keep up with the games pretty heavy?
Yeah, as when I can. Yeah. I haven't been to one in a while, but yeah. I mean, they got a good shot. I mean, they're hitting the defense now is top notch. I mean, what they've got cooked up down there is just nuts. Those guys, Phil Parker and the boys, baby. Those guys are for real.
We will we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Until then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.